Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, amending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine. Amen. Good morning. Beautiful, beautiful day, and the rain is coming down again. Praise the Lord. Boy, I have some announcements, but our opening hymn is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, and that was picked before we had any rain, so we ought to be able to sing that with all of our hearts today for God's goodness. But a few announcements before we go on with our service today. Of course, we're excited to have the baptism of Camden Joe Heckenleibel this morning. And so special welcome to family and friends that are visiting with us today for that. God bless you all. On Mother's Day, all the more special to have his baptism today. And happy Mother's Day to all of the ladies here. God bless you. We thank God for every one of you. You're a blessing to our lives. Sunday school, so next Sunday is the last day of regular classes for the children. We do still have an adult class that continues on through the summer months, so just so the adults are aware of that. But as far as the kids on down, next Sunday is the last day of that. Last Sunday, we gave out the ice cream cone certificates to high school on down. The little preschool ones, as those were given out, I guess maybe the teachers didn't realize the names were on the back of each one. So if you got one for your little one and it's somebody else's name on it, just use it, okay? Those are good for total stop both here in Menno and Freeman, both places, all right? If you have questions, you can talk to Lee Heckenleibel about that, or if there's a problem with the certificate or something, there shouldn't be, okay? On that note, we want to say special thanks to all of our Sunday school teachers who throughout the school year give of their time and dedication. Yes. God bless you. God bless you for doing that. Vacation Bible School, I think, where it's coming up soon on Memorial Day. That night we start. There's still some openings for a few food items back there if you haven't signed up. Just so we're all aware, this year we're doing it different. We're starting with, well, actually supper on the front end. 5:45 to 6:30 is supper. And parents, you can come and are encouraged to come, and or grandparents or church members to the mealtime. The point of that is to be interacting with the kids. That's what we're hoping to have happen. Not just the kids here and the adults here, but all intermixed. So then we'll get going in the sanctuary at 6:30 each night. So that means if you want to eat, you can't come at 6:25, okay? You need to be done by 6:25 with your supper. So plan accordingly for that. T-shirts, there's a donation box out there. You'll see that. Two things that are not in the bulletin. Women of the church. The women always, a group of them, sign up to do visits for our care center residents and shut-ins, elderly, in the month of December. We're also doing that here in June. So there's a sign-up sheet, ladies, if you'd like to help out there. Swan Lake Camps, if you haven't signed up, please do with the kids. They do need some volunteers. I'll try to get more information in next Sunday's bulletin about that. Lots of other announcements to read. So please do as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, a day that we are all rejoicing in all the more, every day we do, Lord, because it's the day that you have made. But today, the last couple days, you've answered prayers in incredible ways with the rain showers that even continue now. Father, forgive us for times when we don't trust you, when things are looking like, oh my, so dry. But you are faithful, and you always provide one way or another. And so we praise you for that. And we praise you, Lord God, for your goodness in so many other ways. For Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, our Redeemer and our Deliverer and our King. We lift our hearts and voices to you, and we're excited to be gathered here together in this sanctuary for that reason. Lord, as always, we ask that you would fill this place with your glory and your power and your wonderful presence as you move among us by your Spirit. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand together as we sing. Number 90 in the hymnal. The words are also on the screen. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unveiled, flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. all thy works with joy surround me. Earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean, depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning o'er us, leading us with mercy's hand. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lifts us sunward in the triumph song of life. Amen. Well, please take a moment, greet those around you before you are seated. Good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see you. You can be seated. Yeah, you can sit down. Okay, our sharing of joys and concerns. Certainly, again, a happy Mother's Day to all here. It's your special day. We thank God for you. Marvin Gehring, Marvin is here today. He had a scan, PET scan, this last week, and it showed all clear. Praise the Lord. Amen. The last year was pretty tough at times through all the treatments, and Marvin just wanted to express thanks to the congregation for your cards, prayers, encouraging words. So we rejoice with you. Couple other things, continued prayers for Jim Massey. He continues on in the hospital. He did have a procedure on Monday, I know, a partial one. They were hoping to do something Wednesday, didn't happen. I don't know if they were able to finish that. Tomorrow, okay. So lots of prayers for Jim. Got a tough situation going on. Lonnie Graber, this is Teresa Newhart's dad. He was in the hospital at Yankton all week and still is. Sounds like he might get to come back to Freeman tomorrow. So prayers for Lonnie and the family. Good to see Robert Balo with us today, coming along after being in the hospital earlier this week. Continued prayers for Robert and Elaine. Also many, many others. Gary Seiler, Jerome and Kathy Nuss. Lots of names there for prayers. If you read the bulletin insert, you'll see about our Sunday morning vacation Bible school offering. Part of that is going to Andrew and Alyssa Hora. So Andrew would be brother of Abby Pressler. And Alyssa's due with the baby anytime here. Okay. Little girl. All right, and 5 pounds, 12 ounces. Okay, Eloise, thank you. And it means what? Oh, it means warrior in French, Eloise. So, and they're will be a surgery probably happening soon. So, okay. There's some issues with the heart, which they have known. So lots of things ahead, but praise the Lord, God is greater than all. So my part of our Vacation Bible School Sunday morning offering is going to help them. There'll be many, many expenses. Okay. Anything else over here on this side? Yes, Kevin. Yeah, Kevin and Ashley Holsworth. Number 12, happy anniversary to you guys. Special day on Mother's Day. Okay, over here. Yes, Greg. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday we had the offering for our denomination. You see the amount in there. And Greg, well, the congregation knows Greg is the treasurer of the denomination. So he's saying, praise the Lord for the offering last Sunday. Hey, we didn't send it in yet, so if somebody wanted to give yet today, you can sure note that. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, so much to praise you for. Certainly on this day in our nation, we set aside and call it Mother's Day. And we thank you for the moms and the grandmas and for all the women of the church, Lord, as they sacrifice in incredible ways day in and day out, 24/7, especially the young ones with new babies. Lord, we ask your blessings upon them. Thank you for their love for us. Thank you for how they teach us and guide us and direct us. Even when we're adults and they're grandmas, and they still continue on with their love in incredible ways. So bless them and their families today, we pray. Father, we rejoice again in the rain. We just can't thank you enough. And thank you for providing through the rest of this season. We trust you in it. For Marvin Gehring, Lord, we've prayed urgently, earnestly for him. And we thank you for the good report he had this last week. For many others, Lord, who are in the battle with cancer on all various stages, we lift them up to you. All those names in the bulletin, Father, you know each one by name, and we thank you for your power working in their lives. We thank you for Robert here, suffering a minor stroke earlier this week, and he's here, and we praise you for that, and we thank you for continued renewal of strength throughout his body. Jim Massey, Lonnie Graber, we pray for them, Lord Jesus, as they're both in the hospital, and quite a road ahead for Jim, Lord, but we know you are working in that situation. We thank you for Andrew and Alyssa Hora, as she had a little baby girl yesterday, Eloise. Bless them, Lord, as you've knit that little one together in the womb, so precious in your sight. We thank you for guiding the surgeons there up in Michigan Hospital where they're at. With the timing of this first surgery and maybe whatever has to happen after that, we pray, Lord, for your healing power to be mightily at work there as well. Thank you for Corey and Cindy and their family here today too, with Camden's baptism coming. Your blessings on them. Anniversaries, Kevin and Ashley today and their three children. How exciting. Thank you for watching over them all. Lord, all of these things we praise you for. We thank you for our nation. Thank you for the work you're doing, because I know, Lord, that your children by the millions are praying for this nation. Praying for revival, praying for all who serve in so many ways, and we ask your blessings upon them in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to read Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. This is just so great when we are baptizing these little ones. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like sharp arrows in a warrior's hand. How happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. Amen. Let's stand and we will sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And Father, we do praise you. Again and again, I know I've said this prayer three times already this morning to you in prayer, but for the rain in the natural and for the rain of your Spirit upon us, which is all the more important for hearts to be turned towards you. And so we give, Lord. We're not just dropping money in a box back there, but we are giving by faith, sowing into your kingdom as we do. This is the time of year on the earth where we sow the seed in the ground of the corn and the beans and whatever else it might be, trusting you for a harvest. And so we sow seed here into your kingdom, Lord, trusting you for a harvest of souls into the kingdom of God, for you to do the work. As we sow, we plant, we water, but Father, as your word says, you give the increase. So thank you for blessing these gifts in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and the family for the baptism, if you want to come, please. We will have that now, Corey and Cindy, and the two sponsors. You can go ahead and light it. Yeah. Hey, Connor. Here he is. She's asking me if I've been lifting weights. I said I got this one and next week's, and they both weigh about the same, so we should be good. So, special day, Corey and Cindy, and I just always try to give you a little updates. Corey works in Yankton at Alumax with aluminum, and he drives race cars too. So, and Cindy also works in Yankton at Avera Sacred Heart Hospital, where she is an occupational therapist. And they have Connor here. He's got a race car with him already. And, of course, Camden. And then their sponsors, Cindy's first cousin, this is Sarah Shoemaker, and Corey's friend and fellow race car driver, I think, Eric Heirig. So thank you for both being up here. So, and there goes Connor. All right. I'm going to read here from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And so I have the vows that you are all for taking here as parents and godparents for Camden. And of course, we went over these a couple weeks ago. First question, do you desire to have your child baptized today? And do you understand that through the sacrament of baptism, that we are actually dedicating Camden unto the Lord? If so, answer, we do. Will you instruct and encourage this child to renounce the powers of evil, and will you teach him the word of God so that he may be led to profess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, answer, we do. And fourth, do you promise according to the grace given you to grow with this child in the Christian faith, to help this child to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, by celebrating his presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that he may affirm his baptism? If so, answer, we do. Thank you. There'll be a response from the congregation. I'll read my part first, and this should be up on the screen. The Bible instructs us to diligently teach God's word to our children. Do you who witness and celebrate this sacrament promise your love and care to this precious child about to be dedicated to the Lord through baptism as he grows in his knowledge of Christ? We pray. Amen. So as we say that together, we think, you know, Vacation Bible School, it takes everybody helping to make that happen, and Sunday school teachers and on. That's all part of what that we're saying. Kay Lee, from our Christian Education Committee.
As a representative of the Christian Education Committee, we pledge to provide an environment within this local church where Cameron can be taught the Word of God, where he can grow up spiritually, and where he can belong to develop a personal, intimate relationship with God as his Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We would like to present Cameron and his family with his baptism candle as remembrance of this special day. We also have a little children's first Bible to give to Cameron in hopes that his love for God's Word will begin at an early age.
Thank you, Lee. Okay. All right, here we go. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. Camden Joe Heckenleibel. Hi. He's peeking at me. As we are here today to dedicate you unto the Lord through this sacrament of water baptism, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. I know. Let's pray. Yeah, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Heavenly Father, we worship you, and we praise you, and we lift this precious little one up to you, Lord God, before your throne, Camden. Thank you for knitting him together so wonderfully within his mother's womb, as only you can do, Lord. And here we are on this special day of his baptism, giving him back to you, Lord Jesus, this gift of life. Thank you that he's healthy and whole and strong. And we pray that he will continue to grow according to your will and your plan and your time. Every cell and muscle and tissue and organ within this body, his fingers and his toes and his learning, Lord, so exciting. We thank you for guarding and keeping him in all of your ways. I pray for Corey and Cindy and Connor as this family, as they endeavor to raise these children to know you and to serve you, raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit upon them, and for Eric and Sarah as godparents here. Bless them. Bless this home. We pray your hand of protection upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to bring him down. So let's sing. You're going to come with me, Connor? Probably not, huh? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so. Thank you, Lee. All right, the children, if you want to come down for the Kingdom Kids time.
It'd be the best thing. Thank you. Let's see. You got, oh, let me go over a little bit more. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? Is everybody doing good? Good. Wait till everybody comes up here. Yeah, go sit down, okay? Thanks. I'll show you what that is in a little bit. All right. Well, that was really neat, wasn't it? Seeing Camden get dedicated, baptized. Okay, go ahead and sit down. Ready? Here we go. Where's... You can sit down right there, okay, buddy? I'm going to show you in just a little bit, okay? Well, what's today, boys and girls? Mother's Day. Did any of you get your mom a gift or do something for? Did you? That's great. Yeah. Anybody else? Go sit down. A car? That's really neat, too. Did you do it yesterday? Oh, fun. Oh, good. Mom does not have to cook, right? All of these things. Well, do you know that some gifts don't come in a box like this? Some gifts don't. Like, did any of you give your mom a hug? Yeah. Yes. Did you tell her I love you? Those don't come in a box, do they? And gifts from God, they don't, especially they don't come in a box, right? It says in 1 James 17, A, it says this in the New Living Translation, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down from God our Father. So he gave us a really, really, really special gift. And if I asked you, you'd probably say, Jesus, right? He did. That is the best gift ever. But he gave us other gifts, and I'm going to tell you what it is. What is it? It's a picture of my mom. God gave us the gift of giving us a mom. And even though my mom is not alive anymore, she's up in heaven. She's been in there like about 25 years, a long time. And maybe some of your moms aren't here, or your grandmas who influenced you aren't here in your life. Sometimes our moms don't always live with us, but God gives us other people too, right, that can be like moms. Do you have grandmas, any of you? Yeah. Do you have an aunts? Do you have aunts? Yeah. Do some of you girls have girl coaches and teachers and those that love you so much? They are special. God has given us them. So today, I want you to thank your mom, tell her you love her, tell her how special she is. But not just today, right? Do we just tell our moms on Mother's Day?
Every day.
Every day. Right, every day. And we thank God for giving us our moms, okay? So whatever you do today, don't forget, give your mom a hug. That's the best gift. Hearing you say you love her and are kind with our words, that is a gift that we can give our moms, okay? Are we going to do that today?
Yes.
Oh, some of you didn't say yes. Are you going to give your mom a gift today? Okay, you already did. Okay, let's pray. Okay? Father God, we thank you so much for giving us, yes, the greatest gift, your son Jesus. But we thank you so much for giving us our moms. They are so special to us. They love us so much. They care for us. They bring us to church. They teach us about you. And we thank you, Father, for them. Help us as boys and girls tell our moms and those in our lives that are like moms to us, whether it's our grandmas or our aunts or any special mom to us, that help us to remember to tell them how much we love them. And these boys and girls, wherever they go this week, help them to be a light shining for you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, don't forget.
All right, thank you, Ann. So most years, many years, I do a Mother's Day sermon, but this year I'm not. So I don't know if you're like, yay, or if you're like, oh. But we're working on the 23rd Psalm piece by piece, and we're going to continue with that. So I have to, while the kids are going back to their seat before I start the message, I got to tell you a story. I've been asking different ones that have sheep, so tell me some stories. So this couple was telling me this yesterday, actually. This was a few years back. They had their sheep out on some CRP land because it was allowed that year where they could graze that land. So they were. This was sort of, well, it was later in the season. Anyway, there was a cornfield nearby, and that corn was tall. So all of a sudden, well, in the CRP, they were in there. There was an electric fence around to keep them in. Well, of course, we know what can happen with electric fences, right? So one day, go to check the sheep, and they are all gone, the whole bunch. And they looked and looked, and this is over a week of time at least. They even had some friends with drones going over that cornfield. They thought, surely they must be in there. Could not find them. They actually thought nearing the end of this week that somebody had stolen the whole flock because they weren't to be found. And one part of this area, there was like a ramp going up where if you would back a trailer up, you could load livestock into there. And they thought somebody had come and stolen the whole flock of sheep. So, but people kept looking. Neighbors were looking. Finally, two guys even went out on horseback looking, and lo and behold, and it was, they were about a mile and a half away, way on the other side of this cornfield, and beyond there was just a shed out in a pasture, and there they all were in that shed all together. They were all there, and they all got them all home. But that's my sheep story for today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. You tell us again and again, we are your people. We are the people of your pasture, the sheep of your hand. And quite a comparison, Father, but you know us better than we know ourselves. And you certainly know how we can act. very much like sheep at times. So your word, Lord, thank you for your word. Jesus is our good shepherd. That is incredible. As you walk with us and lead us and guide us through every day of this life on this earth. And Lord, as we look into your word further this morning, I ask for you to speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here, those listening later online, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are working through the 23rd Psalm, piece by piece. And let's say that together instead of me just reading it. If you would join me, please. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. So we've gone through this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. First phrase, of course. And then it goes into what does the good shepherd do, Jesus, for our lives as he provides for us as we live on this earth. What is it that he does? Well, we talked about he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Last Sunday we were on the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So today we're going to pick up, we're in the next verse. He restoreth my soul, okay? He refreshes and restores my soul. That's how the Amplified Bible says it. He refreshes and restores my soul. My soul, speaking of our mind, our emotions, our intellect, but it's also talking about our spirit being. So spirit and soul together. He refreshes us. The word there in Hebrew, I have it if you're filling your outline. That's I had to listen online. Now, how do you pronounce that word? It's just shub. Shub. That's not too difficult. It means to refresh. It also means, as you have it there, to be brought back to the starting point. That's where restoring comes in, all right? If we've fallen away from the Lord in our lives, he's the one who restores us in that. It means to return to God. I would think we should ask the question, okay, so if Jesus is our good shepherd, and he's leading us beside the still waters, he's making us to lie down in green pastures and all these other things, then why do we have to be restored? Because we're sheep. That's why. And sheep, as I've quoted Clara Bittner, who's in heaven now many times, as she told me when she was a girl, they had sheep, but her dad sold them because he said they're always exactly where they're not supposed to be. So they were gone. And that's how we can act. We need to be refreshed and restored as we walk through this life. I think if we continue to let the Lord and his word refresh us, this is one of your blanks, if we let him refresh us day in and day out as we walk with him, then we shouldn't have to be restored back into fellowship with him. Does that make sense? If we're always being refreshed by the Lord, that's one of the reasons we gather here. Come away from the world, this world system in which we live, which is so complex, and just let the Lord refresh you by his Spirit. We're ready to go again for a new week, right? If we aren't letting him refresh us, then that's when we get into trouble and often fall away and need to be then restored, which he wants to do that too. So as we look at this part of the verse, I'm going to talk about a lot of other verses, but I want to look mainly in this first part of David in his life. David as a shepherd and as king. He was both. We know that. So, because he knew what it was to be cast down. He knew what it was to be rejected by people. The first examples were through no fault of his own, as he was rejected, that we're going to look at first. He didn't do anything wrong. And sometimes that happens to us, isn't it? We're just going about our business trying to serve the Lord faithfully as we can, and things can still not go right. So first in this, he was cast down and rejected by his very own brother, his brother Eliab. Well, when did that happen? Well, it was when the Philistines were fighting the Israelites, and we all know about the giant Goliath, right? And David, his dad, his name was Jesse, had told him, all right, son, David was the youngest of eight brothers, so he was back home taking care of the sheep. I want you to go, here's some roasted grain, here's some cheese and loaves of bread. Take those out to your brothers out there in the battle. See how the battle's going and come and report to me. Well, how was the battle going? It wasn't, was it? Because there was Goliath, 9 feet tall, come marching out every day, and who's going to take me on? And the Israelites are all scared of him, and they aren't doing nothing. So David goes there and witnesses this. And he starts asking questions amongst first his brothers. Why isn't anybody doing anything about this Philistine guy over there? And Eliab, this is 1 Samuel 17:28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger towards him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert?" He's being very sarcastic there, isn't he? You have no business here. You're just taking care of a flock of sheep, so get out of here, in other words, what he was saying. I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Well, the flip-flop was true. The one who was conceited in heart was Eliab, actually. And David was very sincere in his heart. Actually, and if we go back to chapter 16, the prophet Samuel had already anointed David to be the next king of Israel as a boy. Remember? Samuel wanted all Jesse's sons. They all came. And Samuel says to Jesse, "Is this it?" Because he knew none of those were to be anointed as king. And Jesse said, "Well, there's one more, but he's the youngest. He's out herding sheep. Well, go get him." And the prophet Samuel said, "The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." So there was one time with David. This is why we have to be refreshed and restored. That's why we're looking at this. Secondly, David was cast down and rejected by King Saul. So David doesn't give up there. Some of the men take him to King Saul and say, "Well, here's this kid. He says he can fight Goliath. He's fought off bears and lions and wolves, and he wants to take him." And what does Saul say? 1 Samuel 17 going on. He says to David, "You are not able. You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." Third time. Now, Saul is still king. David's grown up more. Saul knows that David has been anointed to be the next king. The Spirit of the Lord has departed from Saul because of his evil heart. And Saul starts to hunt him down to take his life. Many times, if you want to read later, the chapters are there in 1 Samuel. So many times, one of the times David was hiding out, even among the enemy, the Philistines, to get away from Saul. And if you remember, then this time David's hiding out with the Philistines. He had been for a while. He had been serving them with other battles against other people groups. And all of a sudden they're fighting against Israel. And David has about 600 men, and he goes up to the battle line because he's going to help the Philistines. Remember that? And the commanders of the Philistines, though, they said, no, he cannot help us. Because what happens if we get in the heat of this battle and all of a sudden David changes his mind and they turn on us? He's got to go back. Well, if you remember, when he was up there with his men, all the women and children were left a day's journey for sure back at their camp, and an enemy from the other side came and attacked the women and children, took them all away, destroyed the village, okay? David doesn't have a clue this has happened. He goes back to the village. It's burnt. The women and children are gone. And guess who turns on David? His own men. His own men. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 30 we're at now. Now, David was greatly distressed because his own men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because his sons and daughters, they'd been taken away. But here's your verse. All right? But David found strength in the Lord his God. What am I saying? He knew how to get refreshed. Right? When he was being rejected, when he was being cast down, he knew where to go. And we have to too in this day when things are coming against us. The next part of this, so the next couple examples, they were David's own fault why he was rejected and cast down. And we can do things, and we all know it, where we get ourselves in that situation and it's our fault. What? How about when he was trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, to Jerusalem? Now he's king. David is king. His heart motive is right because the Philistines had captured the Ark. That was where the presence of God dwelt. His heart and motive was right, but his plan was very wrong. Remember what he does? If you read that, that's in 2 Samuel chapter 6. He takes 30,000 men from his army, goes over there with a cart, a new wooden cart, pulled by oxen to put the Ark of the Covenant on, because that's what the Philistines did when they stole it. Well, guess what? The Philistines could get away with that because they didn't know the rules of the Ark of the Covenant. But David knew the Word of God. So they set that ark on that cart. They're coming back. They're rejoicing. Remember, the oxen stumble. The cart goes over a big rock. It tips. One of the guys there reaches out his hand to keep the ark from falling, and he's struck dead that fast. In a moment, struck dead. And David is like, he just can't believe it. Because how was the ark supposed to be transferred? Remember, with two poles, there were hooks on either side of the ark. It wasn't that big. It would have sat on this altar right here, solid gold, rings on each side, and they were to carry it, the priests, over their shoulders, four of them, two on each side, and that's how it was to be carried. So that time, that was David's fault, okay? He tasted defeat by getting ahead of God's plan. My point again in all these examples is with this phrase, he restores my soul. He refreshes us. He restores us, okay? David had to be restored that time. It took a while. They left the Ark of the Covenant at where that happened for several months, many months. As he sought the Lord, what did I do wrong? I thought I was doing right, bringing the ark back to the temple. He got restored, refreshed, and on he went. Okay? The next one in here. David knew the pain of falling into temptation. He certainly did. His sin with Bathsheba. We all know about that, right? The thing I want you to see on this one, and I'm not going into all the details of that because I don't have time, but a year later, if you remember, Nathan the prophet came to him, confronted him with what he had done. And Psalm 51 is David's, it's a psalm of repentance. I'm not going to read it all, but he says in verse 10, as he's asking for God's forgiveness, he says, "Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew in me a steadfast spirit. Do not cast," okay, I've used the phrase, what David was cast down. He's saying, "Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Anybody know the next word by chance? Maybe not. Restore. There it is. "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me by your Spirit." He restoreth my soul. Here David's praying, "Restore me to the joy of your salvation." So a cast down sheep. A lot of you know what it is, probably, with livestock. It could be a sheep, could be a cow. I hear with cattle, so the guys that feed the cattle, you fatten them up, and when they get so big, I've heard lots of stories where they have to be checked because they'll get off balance, off-centered, fall over, and they can't get back up, right? A sheep, from what I read about that, it same thing can happen as it gets bigger, I suppose. It can be lying on its side and feet in the air and trying to stand up and struggles and ends up getting more on its back and can't. That's a sheep that is cast. Cast down is what that is. On a sunny day, boy, if that's not found, hot sunny day, it's not going to last very long. Maybe a shady, cooler day probably has a little better chance. So as we're thinking about that, though, how do we get cast down in our lives? Well, how do sheep get cast down? Listen to this Psalm 42. In this chapter 42 and 43, three times the psalmist says this same phrase. Why, he's asking himself, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" You ever said that to yourself? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I just feeling just sort of down? I mean, nothing really major bad has happened in my life. Things seem to be going good, or maybe something has happened in my life. You're saying, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" He says. Three times he repeats this verse. And then he answers himself, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." So this sheep that is cast down, why? According to this shepherd, number one, because often it was looking for a soft, comfortable place to lie down. And maybe that was in a furrow there in the field or in the pasture. Maybe it was in a rounded out hollow spot that was deeper than what it should have been. And he lays down in there, or she, and cannot get back up. The center of gravity switched. The sheep was looking for a comfortable spot. What's the comparison? We like things to be comfortable, don't we? Oh, yeah. We all like it comfortable. We've got our air conditioning. We've got our heaters. We've got our heated seats in our vehicles. The vehicle we recently switched for has a heated steering wheel. And on it goes with the comforts that we all enjoy and think we can't live hardly without. And not that those things are wrong. They're wrong when we get so comfortable that we sort of forget about the Lord, our walk with Him. God blesses us. We use those blessings to buy things, and then we seem that we can't be in church because we have to use those things that God blessed us with. Amen or oh my. I was thinking back to our trip to Haiti in February of 2020. It was when our niece Peyton was there as a missionary for 4 years. That was right before COVID started. And we were there just, I don't know, a week, but And there's many countries like it, but they say that's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and I believe it. I believe it. They have nothing, basically nothing. And now, what was it, a year, 2 years ago when the president got assassinated over there, and there is such unrest even today that the her mission sending organization, and I think most of them, have had to pull all foreign missionaries back to their home bases. All of them. The fortunate part with Mission Haiti is in their schools, they have also trained the local people to be the teachers. So praise the Lord, the schools have kept right on going all through the turmoil. But you want to talk about nothing there. See, the blessings of God, if they're not careful, if we are not careful, we can get so comfortable. Is that what God intends? No. And He gives us His blessings. Blessings to enjoy Him and walk with Him and serve Him. But caution is, don't let it pull us away. That I say this often, and maybe you're tired of it, but we see it in our nation far and wide. The way God has blessed us in beyond what we could ever imagine. And much of the nation has turned from God. Israel did it in the promised land. God blessed him as he said he would. Wasn't a couple generations down the road. They're off in idolatry, forgetting about God, bringing in false gods, and you know how it went. There's a real quick in Luke 12, this is the parable of the rich fool, fits in here. I'll say to myself, this guy in the parable, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. So, looking for a soft spot. Second, quickly, too much wool. That sounds odd. As I was reading, I'm like, oh, well, and of course, a good shepherd is not going to let this happen, right? Too much wool gets too long. It gets matted down, maybe with mud, maybe with manure, other debris, and it gets so heavy, it's easier for that sheep to be cast down and off balance. Well, what does a good shepherd do naturally? Shears the sheep, right? That's easy enough. What does our good shepherd do? Gotta let him shear the sheep. We're the sheep, right? What, Hebrews 12, what does it say? Since we're surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. He restores our souls. He lifts us up, okay? Restoring again, to be refreshed, to be restored. If we stay in His presence and walk with Him as we're supposed to, we're refreshed every day, then the restoring part should be a lot less. Right? Makes sense? If we aren't being refreshed, the flesh takes over. We end up, hopefully not like King David, but many other scenarios. Does He give up on us? No, He's always right there to restore us back to Himself. And He does. We got to respond to Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for all that You do in our lives, Your patience with us. Lord, I pray that we being refreshed here today in Your presence by Your goodness. Lord, and we've all been there in times where we need to be restored. Maybe some right now, today, are saying, yeah, that's me. Lord, I need You to restore me. I ask You to forgive me of my sin. You know what I've done. You know everything about me. And I thank You for restoring my life to You. Help me to live for You every day. That is all of our prayers. So bless each one here today, Father. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Number 182, For the Beauty of the Earth. Again, beautiful hymn chosen before it ever rained a drop here. It sings of God's creation. Let's stand together as we sing this. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the wonder of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle, poor and mild, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Amen. Amen. Before the benediction, forgot to say this earlier, all the ladies here, the Christian Ed and the kids have a carnation to give you as you leave, so please make sure to get that. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. We'll sing before we go as a prayer for our nation. God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Amen. Beautiful singing. You may be seated. God bless you, and again, a happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.